Ramble.
Welcome to another episode of You Can Sit With Us. I'm Rachel, and with me today is your host, Ariel. We also have Kaylin Burke here with us today.
Hi, guys. Brand manager for Second Try.
Yes, I'm a brand manager now. Y'all know me.
Yes. And our very special guest is Normalized Normal Bodies, Mick Zazon.
You pronounced it right.
I heard you earlier and okay. I made a mental note because my instinct was to pronounce it wrong. And I worked on it mentally.
Yes. I always get Meek or Zazon or Zazon. Something.
Meek.
Yeah.
Meek.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome. So Mick just did part one of a video with us that we have yet to record part two. Kaylin's helping us do it as well. Ariel, what is that video? What are we doing?
Oh my gosh. This is a video that Rachel and I have been talking about doing for a while now, probably like 4 months.
It came up we went on a little family getaway to San Diego, and someone said, either Ned or Watts was like, what would it take to not post photos of your kids on your Instagram? And I was like, you will have to pay me.
Yeah.
What do you mean? My kids, they hang the sun in the sky. What do you mean? What would I post? And they're like, what if you posted thirst traps? And I was like, I'll know.
Yeah.
Which I'll know.
And then it just sort of spiraled from there where Rachel and I were like, well, actually, yeah, I mean, I don't take that many photos of myself. Maybe we should, maybe that's something we could talk about or like deal with, kind of work through. And that's what we did. So Rach and I, with your help,
yes.
are going so far out of our comfort zone and taking thirst trap photos of ourselves and posting them on our Instagram pages.
That's the idea, y'all.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too. So
one thing that we were talking about earlier was that a thirst trap, for both of you, it's one of those photos that should make you feel a little uncomfortable when you're posting it because it's something that is like, that is different. And it's a little, you know, it's a little kind of tough to put yourself out there like that. And I love that. I love, cause that's exactly how it makes me feel. That's exactly how it makes me feel.
I feel today, even thus far, and we haven't even done the photo shoot yet, guys. Just know we're just talking about it, but already I'm like, oh, it's like trying to get on a sports team. I'm like really out of my league here.
You're not. The whole point of a thirst trap is to just be yourself and accentuate parts of your body that feel good.
Well, if none of those parts feel that good,
then you have hype women that will hype you
That's
up.
Right.
That is a key.
That is
a key.
Actually very true.
I felt that today. The energy in the room today with Chris Ann and Kaylin and Mick was very cheerleaders, girl gang, women here to encourage you, which always feels so good.
I was like, I mean, I know this is going to come out around the time of the video, but like, you know, I'm crawling on the floor and I've got people like I am wildly uncomfortable and everybody's like, yeah, you got this. Keep going. You know, it's like in Austin Powers. Tell me you guys have seen Austin Powers.
Of course.
Okay, thank God. When he's like, you're a tiger. Yes. You're a tiger. You know, I was like, yes. I am a tiger.
Your ass looks great.
Yeah. So you two, like you post some thirst traps. You know, it's not like solely thirst
traps. Listen, I've seen Mick naked. I've seen Kaylin in a black bikini that Satan made himself.
I know the bikini
himself.
That you're talking about.
Birthday suit.
I'm sort of like, literally. What are the, like,
why
how
is that bikini
does this work?
More scandalous than being nude.
It's like teasing you. It's like,
have you seen this one?
Will
no,
it
I
stay
haven't.
On? We'll show it later, I'm sure, at some point. But it's like, I think I captioned it like, the trust I have in this top is like the same as the trust I have for these men. Like, doesn't exist.
I love that.
Because it was like a mesh, like there's like a mesh stripe in between.
Come on now.
Oh my god.
So it was risky.
Are you kidding me?
And I did this
Are you kidding me? I was looking at it. I think
I think actually Becky and I were looking at it for some reason because
my jaw is to the floor.
I know.
What other reason too. Is
I
there?
I was like, I'm Kaylin's boss. Should I like this movie?
I definitely liked it. I liked it for like,
I liked it too. It's thanks, so guys. Impressive.
Thanks for the
support. Well, I was kind of like, I just had to ask Becky, I was like, do you think that this is like a mesh panel or do you think this is like a nude panel?
Oh yeah, it was really confusing.
You know, because like they're definitely like her nipple has to be there somewhere.
Yeah, it was,
was it mesh?
Yeah, it was mesh.
Oh,
but it was also like, so I think I told Rachel about this. It was like for my birthday trip and I kind of like mentioned this earlier, but every year around my birthday, I do like I get a new hairstyle.
In full just in case.
Yeah, just
make it in.
So basically like it has nothing to do with my birthday. I think that is like partially like me trying to like mentally cope with like adding another age to the ticker. But it's like kind of just like thirst trapping in general. I feel like for me, it came from a point of like where when I was growing up, I dealt with like a lot of just like mean people saying mean things about like my body and stuff. And a lot of it was kind of like racially charged where I grew up. I grew up in a kind of predominantly white suburb of Arizona. It wasn't like I wasn't like the only black person there, but it was fewer than like where I live now and where I have lived before. And so I dealt with like a lot of, and I talked about this on my Instagram a little bit during like the Black Lives Matter stuff last year. People just saying like horrible things. Like I literally had people that were friends say stuff like, oh, I would never date a black girl. That's gross. And like just awful stuff like about like black women's bodies and like the color of like brown nipples and stuff like that.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So it's like, that is not like a direct relation to like why I think I post the things that I do, but I feel like me just like kind of being comfortable with myself online has like kind of become this journey of, I don't know, embracing those things that I was once like super self-conscious about because of
what I was socially
dealing with, you know? And I always like, when I was a kid too, I was like, I would look at like the Beyoncés and like everybody and be like, I can't wait till I can like move somewhere, grow up and like do my hair however I want, like wear whatever
just
I want.
Just celebrate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I've gotten there, which is like cool. So it's like kind of like the embodiment of all of those goals and like that kind of self-exploration.
You
journey.
Creating joy instead of internalizing hate is like the biggest expression of power.
Yeah. So it's fun. You know, it's like, I don't know. So, and then I hope I keep doing it too. It's like, I kind of just, like I said, I do it every year on my birthday. I think it's just like a good time to like celebrate yourself. I never like sat down and was like, I'm going to do this every year on my birthday. But now that I have done it a few years in a row, I'm like, maybe like I should keep doing this every year. You know,
like, this is fun. I like doing that.
Switch up the hairstyle, reinvent the wheel and like, you know, just feel good about yourself during that time.
I love that so much.
So okay. It's fun. Something that you just said or that we were just talking about, I really want to dig into that where like, you know, the thirst trap as like a power thing where, because I do feel like when you like are using your body as a confident woman, there is a sense of power.
Especially when men have been capitalizing on women's bodies for how long?
Yeah.
Forever. Right.
Taking the power back in a sense and like using your sexuality, your like, I don't know, how else would you describe sort of a thirst trap? Like you're using your sexuality like as a powerful tool.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we talked about this too. There's so many different types of thirst traps. Like, you know,
oh yeah, go
like,
on. Cause we didn't get into the weeds of this, but I do want to know what like the different types
all of us had like
are.
A kind of slightly different definition. Right. So like means something different to everybody. Like the way that I thirst trap is not the same way that like somebody else thirst traps. I don't know.
I did use a thirst trap in like college for like certain people. I'm like, I hope he's watching.
Yeah. That's like the original definition, right?
Right.
It's like you're
trying to trap one
you're
person.
Being thirsty and you're trying to trap somebody is like the original definition. But I think like what all the things that we're talking about is like how it maybe like started out with like a negative connotation towards women. And like, it's definitely like we fully 180 flipped mm-hmm. it on its head, and like we're taking power in it. You know, I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of my thirst traps revolve around me embracing my insecurity. So like my birthmark, mm-hmm. I'm on Accutane now, but when I really was struggling with cystic acne, I would show up unfiltered and like still pose a sexy pose and hopefully encourage other people with skin conditions or dealing with body image to feel sexy in their own body.
And that's like the best way to do it, right? It's yeah. like, I don't know. I feel like there's something powerful in it that I feel like when I'm posting thirst traps, like I'm not posting them for guys. I'm posting them for like my girl gang.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right? Well, yes. Right?
Also, selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The biggest lie out there is that we get dressed for men. I get dressed right? for other women.
Exactly. Yeah.
When other women are like, where did you get that dress? I'm like, that's right. I did it today.
I absolutely get dressed for other. Actually, you know, honestly, I get dressed more for myself these days.
And that's as it should be too. Because it's like, even when you are getting dressed for other women, it's like, I'm like, am I doing this for me? You
know? Yeah. But I'm trying to think of the last time that I got like dressed up, and it did feel like I wasn't getting dressed for guys. I was getting dressed for like, for women.
Ned, it's not for you, Ned. Ned.
But you can still compliment us.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do appreciate it when Ned's like, oh, that looks really nice. But usually I'm like, I don't need that. I know I look good.
Yes, we love that.
So Mike, how did you start posting thirst traps? What's your thirsty origin story?
My thirst traps were transformation photo, like weight loss transformation photos. I was so thirsty for appreciation over my weight loss. I dealt with 3 different eating disorders and a whole lot of mental illnesses. And, you know, when people are just appreciating the wrong things, it doesn't matter if it's wrong. It's still giving attention to, you know, whatever was feeding my insecurities. Mm-hmm. And so I kept on doing them, and I gained a lot of followers, but it just wasn't fulfilling. And I just kept trying to distort my body in ways that didn't look like myself. So it kept escalating within every single thirst trap, quote unquote, I posted. So at one point it would be like my actual body. Then it was a transformation photo. And then I was like, oh, but this isn't good enough. Let's take it one step further. Let's start dieting. Let's start using Facetune. Let's start, you know, editing skin. Let's do all of these things so that I can be like the perfect version of myself. And I didn't stop to think that, you know, younger women were looking to me, that so many other people in general were like, I want that, you know? And ultimately it just hit me and I was like, I can't do this anymore. My body physically couldn't do it anymore. I stayed in my room in Arizona. I lived in Arizona for 2.5 years. I currently live in Columbus, Ohio. No family in Arizona. I was there alone and I stayed in my apartment for a month straight, ordering so much food for delivery. I did not take one step outside of my apartment. I went through orthorexia, binge eating disorder, and bulimia. And it was a really, really, really difficult journey because when I had bulimia, I thought that to cure myself, instead of asking for help, I would just stop purging. And, but what did that leave me with? I was mm-hmm. still binge eating. Right. And so my weight fluctuated so much. And, you know, a lot of that I can reflect on now. I just got diagnosed with PCOS and, you know, weight fluctuation happens there. And same with the cystic acne, but it all just like hit me. And mm-hmm. I needed to make up for my mistakes. I needed to be truthful, not to myself first, and go to outpatient recovery for eating disorders, mental health, PTSD from an abusive relationship. And so I switched the narrative and I started posting real, authentic photos and real photos of me feeling sexy and me feeling like I'm embracing my body. And to this day, I look back at that whole time period and it was like a honeymoon period for me. I was the heaviest I've ever been, but it was the most beautiful moments of my life because it was like I was eating as like what I wanted and what my body needed. And I was like posting and people were relating. So that's like the origin of everything. So my parents, bless their heart, they struggled with me throughout my teenage years because I got in an abusive relationship from 16 to and then it ended at 20. Thankfully, I left. But it was a lot of deep-rooted issues. I said earlier in the interview that like the only thing that I felt I could control best was my body and mm-hmm. what I was mm-hmm. eating and how much I was exercising. And when it got that bad with my depression and everything, my parents tried to get me into seeing a dietitian. I went for a couple of days and then I was like, no, fuck you.
Like, I know how to do this.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I know more than you. You went to school for how long? No.
I know more than my body.
Yeah. You know, that was like 2 years prior to me hitting rock bottom. And so when I actually hit rock bottom, I reached out to my dietitian and I moved back home from Arizona and I went to outpatient. So I did group therapy. I saw a whole lot of doctors, but accumulatively, all of that helped me and got me to a place where I knew how to listen to my body. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people can really do that without a good support system. And it sucks that our healthcare system doesn't give that to people. And, but I 100%, like it was professional help all the way.
Mm-hmm. And so when did you decide to post your first real photo on Instagram, sort of out of that moment, that wasn't an idealized version of yourself?
It was, so you ask that question, but there are so many because every time I post something, it's usually new because I like to get myself out of my comfort zone a little bit, whether that be like, you know, posting with a little bit less clothes than the last time or whatever. But I would say the first one was me doing a weight gain transformation post. And I was just standing there with my hands on my hips and I was like, this is me. This is who I am. And it got a lot of negativity, but it was happy. I was so happy. It didn't even matter.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
It is.
And so basically getting to that place was such a, you know, I'm just thinking like, what was that journey for, you know, going from rock bottom to getting to a place where, you know, you were comfortable enough to say to everybody online, like, this is who I am now. And to, you know, and to say to all that negative feedback, like, I don't care. I don't care what you are saying because I am confident in what I have right now.
I realized that it was more than just me, though. I think that's where mm-hmm. I became comfortable in being uncomfortable, because I was reflecting on my younger self mm-hmm. and what I grew up with and how mm-hmm. beauty standards really just took over and made me feel like crap. Mm-hmm. I was so frustrated with media, with like capitalism behind it, and just, you know, the exploitation of women. And I at that point, I just didn't care. I just had to say something and make it right. And that is what fuels everything that I do.
I love that.
We were talking earlier, and we're the same age. And mm-hmm. so I feel like a lot of it too is like, we kind of grew up in the uprising of what social media has become now. And like, mm-hmm. we really kind of, I mean, I feel like I went to college in the time where like Instagram was a sport. It was like
100%.
It was like you were competing against like your friends and like people you didn't know, people you did know, like to kind of like be the best, look the best, have the best life kind of thing on Instagram. And I think it has evolved into a little bit better of a tool now, just like across all social platforms, because of like the way that the algorithmic feeds like allow you to create community versus like mm-hmm. just be based on like the surface level, like. Their Instagram's trying to be better at it, but it's kind of like a just the vicious like cycle of uh-huh. engagement. Like, in order to have social media, there needs to be some form of engagement.
Yeah.
But like things like TikTok, I feel like have like opened. I really hope that like the younger generation, I think I have a younger brother, and I feel like I already have seen this with him, his friends, where they have like a much more open and welcoming kind of like sense of community with their friends and others too. Like, just like much more accepting of like things that are viewed as different. And I feel like we did not have that, because we came up in like basically the spark of social media, where it was like everyone was online and wanted to be like on top kind of
and
thing.
You
is like
must have been so young when that
yeah
was
so of course yeah like, when you're living in it. And I feel like I still haven't like fully gotten out of that mm-hmm. like mindset either, you know, because it's like if you're going up and that's all you're seeing, it's like you don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it like, it really affects you. And then it's hard to get out of that place too. I feel like right. I still, even with my social media today, like I'll choose not to post something that I want to post, cause I'm like, oh, but this one will get more likes, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do that too sometimes, where I'm like, I want to post a photo of these flowers in this garden. Ain't nobody liking that shit on my feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
we've definitely started
it's
moving.
Pretty.
Yeah. And I feel like social media has become like a much different beast now. It's not like so tunnel visioned on like one aesthetic, like one thing. Like, you can do those things. It's just like your personal agenda. And I think for me, it's like a lot of like my background is like doing this for the guys, like making sure that like the performance metrics are up, you know, it for other people. So when I look at my own, I'm like, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. Like, what should I do? You know?
Yeah. You should not look at your performance metrics.
Yes.
You should post photos.
Yes.
You like.
And so that's like, so for me, it's like a personal experience in that way uh-huh. too. But I feel like generationally, like we really grew up in that like environment where it kind of took over and it became like just like a giant popularity contest. And I think it's evolved into something a little better now, like a place where you can share a message, a really mm-hmm. important message, like what you're sharing, and, you know, build a community around that and create community for like younger users who don't have that to look to like next to them. You know, it's like when I was growing up in that environment and didn't feel like I like could even talk about like the way that those things were affecting me. Like I hope that the people in the younger generation have some sense of community somewhere else, like online, that
yeah,
they can find that.
It would have been
that.
Helpful to you to see Black
yes,
creators
to see
on
that
your
more, yeah. And like
community.
We were kind of really in the beginning of it, where it was mm-hmm. like you still weren't, there was not really a discovery element to social
yes.
media.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a contest between
yes.
your peers.
I am so old that I was the first class of people on Facebook when it was for people in college, certain colleges, as the Facebook. There were no photos. There was no feed. There was no sharing.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, our college
OG.
Had a real Facebook, like a paper yeah. one. And then we had this digital Facebook that was Facebook that was just for our college class. And you had to have your college email address to sign up. And
yeah,
I
that's
was
how it began.
The first class.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think
what
I was
has
the first
become
class.
Now?
I know. But it was the first class.
I
it was 2004, y'all.
I remember, I think, so I went to college mm-hmm. in 2005. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, we were on the Facebook.
The Facebook.
And
the
I remember
Facebook.
Looking people up.
And you
up.
Uploaded like a profile picture, but that was it.
Yeah.
And then you could talk to people. So like ahead of going to my college, which was not in my town, I could talk to people who were going to be in my class at college. And that was it.
Yeah. Whoa. And all the photos were taken on digital cameras.
They were taken on digital cameras. There were no iPhones.
Like Kodak digital cameras.
And the albums that Facebook had, you would upload like 100 photos at a time.
You would upload all the photos from the party from the night before.
Yeah, exactly.
And the next just day. Like
there.
But that was even not till my sophomore or junior year. It didn't start out as that. It was literally a Facebook, like the physical one you got for your yearbook or whatever.
Yeah, Facebook had photos and stuff when I joined, and I definitely like illegally joined, like I think you had to be 13 and I was definitely not 13, like, and like my parents did not know I was on there.
So funny. I was babies. Fully over 18 when I started and I was like, okay, this is cool.
And I feel like you guys got it in a way where like it didn't become like such a big part of like identity.
Well, here's the thing. We weren't on our phones. I went to college with no cell phone.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I used the dorm phone to call my friends and be like, do you want to come pick me up for dinner on your way?
I had the first generation iPhone. Until
after college, though.
No, I showed up my sophomore year of college with that thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
The iPhone 1 did not come out till I had just graduated from college.
Really?
Yeah. My favorite story ever, too, is a friend of a friend, David Lionheart, waited in line at the Apple Store in New York City, which was the first one to get iPhone 1. He had signed up at midnight and he waited in line to get it. He waited like 5 hours in the like cold and he got his iPhone 1 and he went to breakfast with a friend and he was passing the iPhone 1 to his friend at breakfast and they dropped it in a mug of coffee.
That is evil.
How does that even happen?
Oh, no. I know. It's so unlikely that the phone would go into the mug of coffee. And that's
well before those things were any sort of waterproof. No. It like sparked almost exploded.
That thing was like a scuba weight. It was the heaviest brick that you had. It had the metal back. It had metal on the back with the Apple, you know, on it. Oh my God.
I wasn't allowed to get the first one.
That thing
sad.
Was a brick.
But we didn't. We had to bring around digital cameras. And I had a cell phone by sophomore or junior year of college, but we didn't take them with us. We weren't online. We weren't online. Yeah. We were online when we were doing schoolwork and checking emails, but we were present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to make my children think I'm the oldest person.
I know. I feel like Rachel and I are like, back in my day.
I took them to college in the snow.
It's just crazy how much social and like technological development has happened because we're not like that far apart.
No. You
know? And so it's like, it's crazy that much has changed.
Have you seen the videos of children they're like, hold up a phone, an imaginary phone, and they're like this.
Yeah, not like
they're holding their whole hand up.
Yeah, why would they think it's this?
Yeah.
Nuts.
Nope.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny on TikTok to see like the true Gen Z, like young Gen Z, because like my siblings are like older Gen Z, I guess, but like the true Gen Z kids, like rediscovering things that like even like I grew up with. And I'm like, God damn
the
it.
The early 2000s.
Like, this is where it begins. Yep. I'm like, I have to stay hip. I need to know these things for my job. But it's like they'll like rediscover like digital cameras. They're rediscovering like the digital like camcorders and like hit clips is like a thing that they're like, what is this?
Wait,
like,
they're starting to talk about that?
Yes.
What's a hit clip?
So this was like a really like, it was like a fad.
It
when
was.
Like we like probably like when we
I
were
was
like
obsessed with
when we were like eight. It was like a fad. And it was like a mini CD, like CD-ROM kind of
thing.
They
only played like a snippet
of like your
songs.
Three favorite songs. And you would like get them in like a pack and like put them in and be like, Dirty Pop.
Hillary Duff, Dirty Pop.
That was my favorite one.
Why would you only want to sniff it?
I don't know. They like ended up like giving away as like McDonald's toys and stuff.
It was basically like a Vine before there was Vine.
Yeah, honestly.
It was like Vine. really short
sound bites.
Nobody's going to know what Vine is anymore.
R.I.P.
They better, because Vine was iconic.
It was. Vine was the OG TikTok.
Yes.
Come on, guys.
Absolutely. The blueprint.
Unreal.
You got to know where your media comes from.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like how this new wave of like social and digital like affects the next generation. Cause I feel like looking back, the way that we experienced it definitely did affect like where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how it affects.
You see that the younger generation, they look older now.
Yeah.
I'm like looking back at my middle school years and Yeah. What the heck? What happened to me? Yeah. And then you see like people are looking like me. I'm 25 and they're 16 and they know how to take photos. They know how to do all of this stuff. And I'm like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, but I think though, do we they look older or is it just like generationally, do we all look a little like more put together?
Possibly. You know what I'm saying?
Because like, at that time, I remember too, like in junior high, I was definitely trying to look like I was 16 at some point, you mm-hmm. know? And so it's like those 16-year-olds also probably like looked like that too, you yeah. know, where it's like there was just less access to information about like
yes.
mm-hmm. makeup, fashion. I don't yeah, know. Yeah,
we weren't things. Watching YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, on how yeah, to yeah, do yeah, yeah, yeah. There was no everything. YouTube tutorials for us really. Like, that, I mean, there was, but not as like, as much with much access like, and frequency.
I go to like the library to watch them. Right.
I feel like a 16-year-old now could, you know, watch a YouTube video about how to do their makeup, you know, the same way that I could, and they could look like they were 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With like
the resources are better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where
for better like, and worse.
Yeah. 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 But there was no way for me at 16, like other than at 16, I was like using a hair straightener and like, you know, St. Ives apricot scrub.
Oh yeah.
And like, you know, I was putting on, I used concealer as foundation. So I would just spread it all over. I would just spread it all over my face. Spread it all over my
Your
face.
Poor pores.
And then I would put on eyeliner and mascara. So yeah. like, but, oh, yeah. but nothing else because my mom would always, she called it rouge. So she would always put on her rouge and I never wanted, and I was like, oh, I
don't want
fashion.
Like
I don't want
to. Let me put concealer on.
I'm just gonna rub concealer all over my face, cover up all of my, like all of my pimples and imperfections. And you know, uh-huh. I was 16. Like what sort of imperfections? Like, I feel like at 16, you should just kind of be like, this is my face. This is yeah. what I look like.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like wondering like, what are the kids doing now? Like, what are they good?
They're probably doing contour and
yeah. like,
I just learned how to contour last year. So
I still don't know how to contour.
Yeah.
I'm way into bronzer though.
Yeah.
You are
me a bronzer.
I've kind of just figured out like this one way that my makeup like works and I just do that. And then mm-hmm. change my eyes.
What is it?
Well,
do
like,
tell.
I it's not correct. Like, it's definitely not like what the tutorial is telling you.
Becky's
gonna be like, Kaylin, what? But I basically just do a base level of foundation and then I bake. So I do like a little bit of concealer and then powder over those areas. And then mm-hmm. I like use like powder to contour, I guess, like where I do like a darker bronzer and then I do like heavy blush.
I don't use powder and I feel like it shows.
I don't really use powder either.
I don't own it.
Well, I think it's like skin type. Yeah. I have like really oily combination skin. So like I kind of like have to like, but mm-hmm. when I just do powder and no foundation, it like melts off. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I have to like, I'm sure there's a better way to do what I'm doing, but this is what I found out.
This is what you do.
And this is just what I do because it's easy.
It's working. It looks my phenomenal. Go-to routine.
Kaylin, whatever you're doing is working.
Keep doing it.
You look awesome.
I did have to touch up though because we were put the mask on and it's like your nose is gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to thirst traps.
Yeah. We got
what
way off topic.
What is the riskiest photo either of you has ever posted and how did it feel to post that?
Oh. Follow up question.
Let me look at my answer.
What is the riskiest photo that you want to post but haven't yet?
And you haven't yet.
Ooh.
What is it?
I don't think I have.
I really want to do one of those like really risque beach photos where I'm like crawling in the sand.
Yes.
I haven't done a photo shoot with a photographer, like a personal photographer. I've done photo shoots with like brands and stuff recently, but just not for personal
like for
use.
Yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's next on the bucket list.
Okay.
But I would say my most risque or like craziest one, was this one where I was in the shower. I was advertising a body wash and I was like, I was completely naked. I had the shower on and I was like tastefully showing like a little butt. And uh-huh. I put like, I went on Canva and I put, bubbles over my book.
Wait, that's so cute. Yeah.
And it was really cute, but it was kind of nerve wracking posting. I was like, oh. Yeah. But
there was one that I was really nervous about, but looking back at it now, I'm like, whatever. But I posted this one that was like heavy under boob from like a photo shoot. And I like held on to it for a really long time after the photo shoot. Cause I was like, it was like before under boob was like happening everywhere.
I told you I wanted to try under boob.
I love under boob. And I loved the way that photo looked. And I remember at the time I was just like a little uncomfortable because I was still in college. I was like in job searching, like towards the end of my college career. And like, there was like this like thought process behind all of it where it was like, oh, like, is this like too much? Like if somebody that's hiring me
under
sees
boob
this,
is like a modern revelation too. It's not, it's the same as cleavage, but it's new.
Well, no, there's under boob was a thing in like the 90s too. There's a lot of photo shoots. Okay. Like I'm kind of trying to remember the one. Probably some Coca-Cola something or something like that where somebody's like was wearing a tank. There's a specific photo and I can't remember
who's
what it's
sluttier,
from.
Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Or maybe it was Pepsi. It might've been Pepsi.
That's cute.
And it's I was really nervous about that. And since then I've posted like so many bikini photos that it like doesn't even matter. It like looks so inconsequential next to those.
It's interesting that I'm more nervous to post an under boob photo than like a naked photo.
Yeah. There's something about it that's like really salacious. Yeah. I don't know why.
Is it sexualized? Is it like hypersexualized?
I think
it's just different.
Yeah, I think it's just different. Yeah.
I also, because I went through so many different bodies that like my boobs are saggy, and something this year that I've been doing is I haven't worn a bra in how long, but that took me so long to do. So I'm just now embracing it. But like the whole thing of under boob, I'm like, oh, like right. It's just new. And maybe that's something that I need to conquer.
That's a real mom issue too. Mm-hmm. People are very concerned about their boobs being saggy for moms.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my boobs are all over the place. It's like, if I haven't like, so I'm pumping breast milk for my 10-month-old. And if I don't pump for a couple of hours or like, okay, so I pump 3 times a day right now. I'm just going to do it. But if it's like time to pump, my boobs look enormous. I look like I've had like good implants.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
Are you ever kind of like, let me just take a photo right now?
Sometimes.
Yeah, because you're like,
I'll be like changing into my pumping bra and I'll like, catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror and I'll be like, oh, I look like a porn star.
The day we take thirst trap photos, what if you just skip the pump?
Ooh. I could try, but then I might leak.
Yeah, and like, is that a dangerous game?
That's awkward. We'll hop in the pool.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Easy fix.
We'll take a milk bath.
It'll be awesome. You with giant boobs in a milk bath in that bathtub. That's a great photo.
See that it feels very strange to me, like to sort of, because like it's such a not sexy thing to me, you know, it's like, because it's feeding a child, you know, it's such an interesting, like re-looking at that perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that you're like, you appreciate that though in that moment.
Cause
you know, it's
oh,
like, it's
absolutely. Like, yeah. I'll sort of look at myself and be like,
This is not the same at all, but I feel similar. Like when I'm like approaching my period, I'll have like extreme bloating and like swelling of like, cause I have like very small, like nothing's going on up here. But then when I'm approaching my period, they like plump up and I'm like, what's going on today?
This is what they look like.
Yeah.
This is a nice
not the same at all. But yeah, I'm like, okay, I feel like shit, but this looks great.
This is working.
Like, we're cramping, but we're okay.
What is your number one tip for encouraging us while we're taking thirst trap photos? Because I'm just really afraid that I'm going to fail.
Yeah. There's no way to fail.
Okay. There's no way to fail.
What if, I'm just being my most egotistical self here for a minute. What if we take all these photos? We have this photographer. We have all this wardrobe. And in every photo, I just wish I looked different.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I have exactly the same
because
fear.
Because that's what's running through my head a lot. Like when I look in the mirror, I'm like, okay, not my favorite.
So can I ask why you have that fear or where it's coming from?
Because I don't think I look as good as I used to.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that earlier. It's like when you look at photos beforehand, you're like, oh my gosh, like why didn't, like I wish I looked like that. But even then you were looking at photos before.
Yes, of course I was. And of course I
it's
was.
It's like this never ending cycle. And I think the most beautiful part about having a body is that it houses you throughout change. Like it's meant to house you throughout all of the change, especially women's mm-hmm. bodies. It's made to ebb and flow and change as you age. And it's such a beautiful thing. But when we have been essentially brainwashed into thinking that we have to like stunt our age and stunt mm-hmm. the change that we're supposed to mm-hmm. do, then we automatically have that. And so when I do get in that negative spiral, I'm like, mm-hmm. why? I constantly ask myself, I'm like, why am I feeling like this? Why? And a lot of it has to do with what I grew up with, like the information that I was given.
And so what's the way to break the cycle?
Reframing it, you know, I don't know.
Rewriting the narrative. And I said before too, whenever my friends and I take photos, we go around a circle and we compliment each other. And like, what's your favorite thing about me? And it's like our one moment where we give ourselves permission to like really hype each other up. And not that you need permission, but just to like really go in on complimenting somebody right. intentionally. And then you just like feel on top of the world when mm-hmm. you're taking photos. Nothing's better than a compliment.
That's definitely on the list.
Yes, we gotta do our hype circle.
It's gonna make me cry, all my beautiful mascara.
We'll have makeup on set.
I also feel like, you know, something to break us out of this cycle of negative self-thought, yeah. you know, because you and I are very similar in the way that we look at photos of ourselves or we look at ourselves in the mirror, because we've talked about this before mm-hmm. where, you know, we'll be like, I look different. Like I'm getting wrinkles now. This is happening and this is happening. And so if we just change it to the point where, you know, almost like we could be acting on set or something like that, you know, breaking mm-hmm. out of that cycle of like, this is me mm-hmm. and being like, actually, this is who I am today. And, yes. and mm-hmm. this is, I want to feel this way. And that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to wear this so that I feel awesome. And, you know, I think that sometimes just sort of pretend, almost like pretending or acting, you know, mm-hmm. it's like fake it till you make it, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, almost.
I love that you said that too, because I almost kind of like, I like definitely treat my closet like that. Like
really?
I feel like I don't have like a very specific aesthetic. Like it's kind of like all over the place. And I feel like I treat my costume like, or sorry, my closet like a costume closet.
I love that.
And I'm like, what do I want to be today?
Right.
The kind of vibe. And I don't know, maybe that helps like just kind of like.
Sporty Spice.
Yeah, like switch up like who you are in that moment.
Right.
And like, I don't know, like I literally feel like I'm playing dress up every day. And it's just like, let's see what we get into. And some days I'm like slumming it. And I'm like, whatever, it looks stupid. But
yeah,
I don't know.
But I feel like that's an easy and healthy way to break out of the cycle of negative self-thought, you mm-hmm. know, just saying, okay, well today I'm not going to look at myself as mom Ariel today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be Ariel in sexy lingerie and mm-hmm. let's see where that goes.
Yes.
You know,
I love that.
I think I could reframe things like that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the way you said it too, like about, being who you are today is like really important too. Cause I feel like you said as well, like we keep coming back to this, like comparing yourself to photos from like 5 years prior or like 10 years prior. It's like, of course you're going to look different, but like who you are today, like is you're going to look back at it in 10 years mm-hmm. again and have the same like potentially negative thought process and cycle unless you like you change it today.
Yeah. So appreciate it for
now. Yeah. Appreciate it for like for now. Mm-hmm. And then in the future, appreciate that moment for now too.
I also
like looking back, I don't know.
I also know that when I'm constantly looking at photos that make me feel like shit, then I'm automatically gonna feel like
right,
shit.
Yeah.
So I say on my social media all the time, unfollow people or mute people. Like I've muted my best friend Gabby before because I was comparing myself to her. We had a conversation about it, but it's like that open conversation and it's protecting your energy so that you can work on yourself. And so now my social media feeds are everything that I want it to be so that I can feel my best self? Like, what is going to fuel me to show up the best that I can be?
I like that, because I do feel like sometimes I can get into a, you know, into a hole of social media where I can only find things that are making me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
You know, making me feel like, oh, well, why am I not on vacation? Oh, why do I not look this good in a swimsuit? Oh, you know, why do I not have time to shop for all these fun clothes? You know, it's, you can totally get into a negative cycle on
social
media.
Something that I do, which I have found really, really helpful, and I learned this trick from Gen Z. I am a Gen Z stan, in case you guys did not notice. I love them so much.
We knew.
But I learned this when I was working with Instagram on a project about younger kids and stuff. But a lot of kids make multiple kind of dupe accounts on social media. And so I started doing that, like, kind of for work, to like research trending topics and stuff, that like if we needed stuff for videos and stuff when I was working at BuzzFeed. And then I started doing it for myself. And so basically I separated all of my like personal follows on my main account. So basically my account set up on my main account, just follow just people that I know and like, and are friends or acquaintances. And then I set up a following account to follow fashion bloggers. And then I have another account to follow stuff that's like Try Guys related.
So you're one of those people who has zero posts, zero things.
Yeah, that's me. But it's
you're
like,
a lurker.
But yeah, but it's really great because it's like I don't have to see it every day when I'm going to like just enjoy like what my friends are posting. I can choose when I want to go onto my fashion follows and like look for outfit inspo. But it's like it's not like negatively impacting me every day, because there are times when I go on there and I'm like, it's just. And I'm like, I like my body a lot. And I'm like, I'm grateful to have like some of the things that I have, but there's like, I will never have hips. And there's like girls on there with like beautiful hips and butt that I will never get. And I'm like, I still like, I can't look at that every day. You know, it's like, it's detrimental.
So compartmentalized.
It. Yeah. It's I don't know if it's healthy, but it's like, it works for me.
No, cause then
I,
you're creating really healthy.
It sounds very
healthy. I get to like check back in when I want, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Therapist, chime in the comments.
Let me know if I'm messing myself up further, but I feel like it works for me.
It's just setting up those boundaries of like, for my mental health, I do not need to see this today.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like me for reading comments. I've just decided like, I don't read comments anymore. I just don't.
You're so that's good. I just
can't, you know, like I appreciate the positive comments so much, but it is always the negative ones that I see and I remember and I think about, and I think like, what am I doing wrong? Like, is this bad? It's painful.
I you mentioned things earlier about like the comments, and a lot of them are like personal attacks. Like they go into like detail and it's really
awful. How have you dealt with negative comments on your feed? Cause you're all over Instagram. You're all over TikTok.
Yeah. Sometimes I screenshot them and then use them in posts. I'm like, screw you. Right. Like I saw it
and this is how I feel about it.
Yeah. They'll like reply to comment on TikTok.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, I have to reflect. I'm like, what is this actually? Are they feeling, is it them projecting? Or is it something that I can work on? And if I can't answer that myself, I will ask people that I can trust. And I think that has helped me so much. It's like, what is the story I'm telling myself in my head? What's the actual truth? So for instance, when I was like being called out for Photoshopping, when I was like in the midst of my eating disorders, that was something that I needed to work on. And I didn't have any way of defending myself, you know, other than it was a product of society and a much deeper rooted issue. But that's something that I needed to work on. And, you know, here I am now. But at the end of the day, like if it's not like under good intentions, then I don't need to care about it. You know, at the end of the day, if they are spending time, their own time, typing out a negative comment to make someone else's day worse, that sucks. Like are
it's so much suck. Energy to
you
do
are gross
that,
like why
it's like
gross
I also I mean Should you have stopped photoshopping photos because it was making you feel super terrible and it was a product of you feeling super terrible?
Yes.
Was it their place to peg you for all of society's problems with photoshopping photos?
Absolutely not. But I will gladly, like, and that was the responsibility that I had to take, you know? I think a lot of times I hear, you know, I didn't ask for people to come at me, or I didn't ask, which is true, but like it also comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. And I have to reality check myself a lot when I want to feel like self-deprecating. And I'm like, no, like this is the responsibility I decided to take on. Like I have to choose to be the bigger person, and I have to choose what boundaries I'm willing to create and mm-hmm. what comments I need to respond to.
Because sometimes I feel like if it's not like adding any value to you, mm-hmm. it's like, then it's like just a negative, like waste of energy on your end too. If you like engage in the comments, mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, it just perpetuates like that person's discourse and then can get worse. And then it's really affects you negatively. And then it's, sometimes
so
it's like, just
to respond
let it go.
To comments, because I'm like, I don't want to get all tangled.
Yeah. Do you know how much anxiety I get where like, if something comes up with like the guy's social media I have to like respond on their behalf, I'm like, okay, here we go.
It's
luckily we don't
rare,
have very many of those moments, but
we have had our moments too, where people who have responded negatively to someone in a video mm-hmm. and we have had to,
yeah, like prep a statement basically.
Yeah. It's like, and it's been like, it's been really crazy.
Yeah, it's intense.
The internet is a fickle friend.
It's intense. And luckily, like, I would say we're not very controversial. So
no, we're not.
Like, most of the time, mm-hmm. I feel like we do end up handling it pretty well, but it's still, it's like tough. It's like, it's like, mm-hmm. and then how do you, then it becomes your responsibility as like creator or like person behind creator to like mm-hmm. make sure that the way that you're handling the, situation is not negatively affecting somebody else mm-hmm. online too. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, it's all those questions of like, just making sure that like you're protecting yourself and your energy and then also not harming anybody else out there. It's just mm-hmm. like this whole, mm-hmm. whole battle.
It would be so easy to be a bad person,
right?
To not have conscience, give in to like all of the negativity
and to make people feel bad just left and right.
Yeah.
You know, but like,
but I don't envy that because it like must be a really dark place to be.
Mm-hmm. It's such a dark place.
Dark, yeah. And it stresses me out a lot. I always wonder if those people find it stressful because I'm like, aren't you stressed out by this?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't ever want to know.
Yeah.
No, my like immediate go-to is always to almost be like overly positive. It like to the point where it makes people uncomfortable, you know? So I've had to like pull myself back a little bit. Like, I feel like I have learned from Becky specifically that like, you know, you can't like be overly effusive about the way that somebody looks, you know?
Oh yeah. When you're just like, oh my God, I love your dress and I love the way that looks. And you look, you're glowing today.
Yeah. That people Becky's think I'm like, not being honest or like, you know, like, or just sort of, I don't know, that it's just too much or like that they don't want to have their bodies commented on or, you know, something like that. And I get that. But I'm definitely the sort of person who leans into like, offering so much positivity that it almost doesn't feel real.
The rule of thumb is to not comment on people's bodies.
Just don't comment at all.
I met up with my wedding photographer for Christmas card photos last year, and she was clearly like 6 or 7 months pregnant, and I just remained mouth shut until finally Scott was like, and as you can see, we're expecting. And I was like, oh, thank God. Heidi, I can see. But yes, I saw. However, I just couldn't say, because she had also had a kid at the same time we'd had the girls. So she had like a 1.5-year-old. And I was like, what if? What if she didn't? What if that's just leftover from her 1.5-year-old? What if that's not me? I would feel terrible if someone said that to me.
I think the thing is that you don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know what they're going through.
You don't know. And
or what if she had just had a miscarriage? That's yep. happened to friends of mine who carried babies through the second trimester. Yeah. And then they have a miscarriage and they look pregnant and people Ugh. Ask them about their pregnancy mm-hmm. and they're bursting into tears in public.
I can't.
And it's just like miserable. So you don't know. You just don't know. You just have to wait for them to tell you. So my Instagram, I'll tell you if we're having another baby. I don't have a bump. It's just left over from the first two. Mm-hmm. Good golly.
Yeah.
I know. It's so like sad when like you guys get those comments and it's like, I know that it's coming from a place of like
excitement.
Like they're excited for you guys. And it's like, I think it's just like younger kids that just don't like understand that. But it's like, it's good. I'm glad that you guys use your platform to like educate that too.
Just imagine that Watts and I had been trying for a long time again. It wasn't happening and people are commenting that and suddenly it's so loaded.
Yeah. It's so personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think like, we'll tell you when we're ready to share some piece of news. And until then, don't guess. Don't guess. Mm-hmm. There's no guessing. Yeah.
Well, just commenting on people's bodies in general just perpetuates that your body is the most important thing.
Right.
And so I did a photo shoot last year and the photographer who, by the way, knew my brand, my history, she was like, oh my gosh, you look so great. You lost weight. And I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because even to this day, it doesn't matter how confident I am in my body. That still mm-hmm. affects me. That still does. And I'm like, well, do I need to lose more weight? That was my first thought.
Yeah, how does it make you feel?
Recently, I've been more active. Okay, so we'll or do, upset. Yeah. And yeah. I have body image issues. Like, I'll look in the mirror and I'm like, that's not what I look like. And so I've been through kind of this body change where maybe my body has changed. I'm in a smaller state than I was a couple months ago, but I see comments every single day now saying like, I wish that I could lose weight like you. And I'm like, that's the last thing that I need to hear.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. also like, how do I even respond to that with the platform that I have when they see somebody like talking about body confidence and like they're losing weight? It's just a difficult thing. And I think ultimately we move past that by complimenting people and on how they affect your life. Mm-hmm. Like you look radiant today.
I was literally going to say that. Yeah. Just like, I feel like the best compliments are not physical, superficial, not surface level ones.
Like that color looks beautiful with your eyes.
Mm-hmm. You look so confident.
Yes. Things like that. Like, thank you for spending time with me today. Like, I really enjoy your presence. Like that compliment is something that I would take over. Oh my gosh. Like, you look so skinny today.
Right.
When in reality, what if you said that to like a cancer patient and you had no idea, or they were going through an eating disorder or something that really affected their health. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
It's like when you're commenting on a post and you want to say something, you know, like this post has made your day. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that can really make somebody feel really good
And valued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And valued for their effort and not for their, like the way they look, you know? So saying this post really changed my morning, this, you know, this post really gives me encouragement, you know, like something like that, that isn't actually commenting on their physical appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And you can still say that to like thirst traps. Mm-hmm. You can still say that like, you are making me feel more confident by you posting this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Instead of saying like, oh my gosh, you look so good, which is also okay. But you know, there comes a point where like sometimes it gets too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can always compliment me on my outfit. So. Yeah, I'll take those ones.
Yeah. I remember not today. Saying she posted like a totally normal bathing suit photo of her and her friend. She told this on the podcast once and someone commented, wow, you're so brave. And she was like, I wasn't being brave.
Oh God.
Oh. I was just posting a normal photo.
This is me in a swimsuit. Oh, okay.
That's like almost like the feeling of like, you know, when somebody, when you're not wearing makeup and somebody like goes out of their way to like be like, oh, are you tired or like, oh it's like God. That feeling where it's like, no, I'm just myself.
Yeah.
It's
just me. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. I think even Ned in one of our YouTube comments videos was like, I'm not tired. My kid sleeps through the night now. He's almost two. This is just how I look. And I'm the same way. I'm like, yeah, I'm not tired anymore. My girls sleep 11 to 12 hours. I just look this way now. Yeah.
This is just what my days, face looks like.
Some days you are tired and that's fine too. Just like, don't bring
but
it
don't
up.
Don't bring
like,
it up.
Yeah, don't like tell me that I look tired. In what way is that a good idea?
No, but you know, people do stuff like that. And you're like, why? Nuts. Why?
People just don't know what to say.
I know.
Sometimes it's like word vomit too. Like you can see it coming out of somebody's mouth. You're like, don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't do it. Don't like they want to start a conversation with you.
It's happening.
Their face gets red. They're like, what?
And what kind of comments do you think that we are going to get on our thirst trap posts? What kind of comments are you hoping for?
I think they're going to say, about time, Rachel, because they've been asking for thirst traps.
I agree.
Okay, so picture this, y'all. I hope you're listening, whoever you are out there. I didn't get your name. I'm standing in the line at LAX wearing my mask. No June and Poppy, no Watts, just by myself waiting to fill up our water bottles. It's going really slowly. And this girl with cute braids comes over and she's like, Rachel, when are you posting the thirst traps? And I was like, we haven't shot it yet. It's going to be a minute. I don't have any thirst traps for you right now. I could pull some from a few years ago, but like, that's not going to make me feel good.
I have this really cute one of me in Ojai.
My tushy's out. I could post that, but my husband's very uncomfortable with it.
It's funny because I think, is this episode going to come out after you guys have started posting most of them?
Yeah. So we're going to post them, react within the episode.
Yeah.
And then we might post a few more.
Yeah, because you know? Yeah. They'll have a nice library.
I'm hoping we have a good library. Yes.
Yeah. See, I feel like you guys are like super nervous about the reaction, but I feel like you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I think that you're going to get so much like...
Oh, yeah.
I think that like the way that like I see the comments on the Try Guys' stuff about you and like and you as well, like it's going to be like, go off, Ariel. Oh my God. Look
Ariel.
At you. Queen, it's gonna be like that kind of vibe because we do have like a really supportive audience for the most
part. I feel like we'll put one on the Instagram feed.
Oh my God, it better be both of us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Just our tushies.
Just our tushies.
Maybe we'll do like the group photo. That'll be good. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think the comments will be supportive. I'm mostly worried about the commentary in my head.
Hopefully, though, like along with the reaction from everybody else is positive. Like you guys walk away with like. A positive experience as well, you know, like, and like feeling like, oh, maybe I could do this again sometime.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like it's a little more like therapy than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah.
You're like, what did I get myself into?
I have to look in the mirror and embrace myself.
I know.
Cow.
It's sort of like, I don't remember what it was like. Somebody somewhere on some show was like, take a mirror and look at your vagina. You know,
it was Goop.
It was Goop. Oh my gosh, yes, it was Goop.
Yeah, like take a mirror and look at your vagina, say hello. You know, like you guys have never really met. You know, just sort of one of those. Well, I feel like this is sort of like that, where it's like, you know, I'm getting reacquainted with my body.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that, but I'm also so nervous.
Me too.
Because she's different.
She is different.
You know? And do you guys feel like you took like a long break from like doing something for yourself like this? Like,
Yeah. Like a casual like few years. Yeah. I don't feel like
so
I've
maybe
done...
that's why it's like extra scary too. Cause it has like, you took a break in between.
I don't think I've done something like this that has this public and private portions to it. That since like my wedding honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, yeah.
I think it's been that long. Because then I was like a newlywed and then we were trying to get pregnant and then we were pregnant and here we are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be selfish in these moments. It's not really applauded for, at least how I view it and how I've seen my sisters go through pregnancy. It's not applauded to be selfish at times when you have children, which it should.
Yeah, which is super strange. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like moms are supposed to be sacrificial.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
No.
But like when I think about my daughters growing up, I don't want them to do that. I want them to own their bodies.
Right.
And be proud of them with their imperfections and all, like just mm-hmm. however they come to the table is how they come, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
And I think it's super cool that you guys are doing this too. Yeah. And like, it'll kind of be memorialized in a sense too for like your kids to like look back on and be like,
if Instagram doesn't implode before then, but maybe we'll print some actual copies.
Yeah. We'll have the hard copies on file just in case.
We're going to frame them and hang them in the office, obviously.
Hang one up in my office.
That'd be so, just
Nick looks at it your butt.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Funny story. My aunt actually painted a photo, like one of my thirst trap photos.
That's so cool.
It's a stunning painting. It's an oil painting, and I put it up in my bedroom because I love looking at it.
I truly see myself looking back at these photos on a day when I'm like having a bad body day or something like that, you know, where I'm just having a negative thought day, and looking back and being like, nah, these are bomb.
Yes, I still got it.
Yes. I still got it. Like, yes. I can handle this day.
Yeah, and then I hope you guys do it with more frequency too afterwards. Mm-hmm. Maybe not like the same level, but like
right.
if you keep like showing up for yourself in that way, then like another 5 years down the line, it won't be scary.
More of myself,
you know?
On my socials.
Yeah.
Is Try Guys going to continue to fund our self-esteem? I hope so.
We'll work it into the budget.
Yeah. We'll just sort of insert ourselves into photo the merch shoots.
Yeah.
Well, actually, now that we're talking about this, I am going to need you guys soon.
And there's lingerie, and we're like, just snap a few more.
Just a couple. Are you guys done? Because we need the photographer. Excuse me.
Hold on, I have some angles.
Yes.
Oh, you guys. Well, Kaylin and Mick, thank you so much for being here and for being our cheerleading team.
Thank you guys for inviting us. Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool. And it's been so nice to meet you, Mick.
So nice to meet all of you. It's been so great just sort of hearing about your history with social media and like how you've gotten to where you are. Is, you know, I feel like as two people that are on the precipice of like this transformation, it's so great to hear like where you were, where you are now, and I mean, honestly, to see where you're going to go.
I appreciate
where you're going
to
go.
And your journey is beautiful and your message is beautiful. And I can't wait for all of our users to find you. Can you let everybody know where to find you?
Where it at?
Mick Zazon on all social media. That's where you'll find me.
Yes. Is Instagram your main gig?
Yes, I would say so.
And TikTok is your side gig.
Yes.
I think I found you on TikTok first.
I'm honestly having trouble like
deciding which.
What do I do? Yeah. But, you know, I enjoy both.
Well, everybody go follow Mick and get all the good vibes. Yeah.
Thank you.
And, you know,
and send some her way too.
Rate us 5 stars, leave a comment or a review, and you can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for us. We call our listeners because it's You Can Sit With Us. Cutie booties. So that's like a good theme for life. And Nick is definitely a cutie booty.
Definitely on brand for this whole shoot.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe one of your captions. Cutie booty.
Cutie booties.
Oh, it should be.
Yep. Yeah, that'll be fun. There you go.
Okay, you're genius at this. Genius.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for sitting with us, guys.
Bye.
Bye.